In storms, you will be tempted to think he doesn't care. They were when Jesus was on board. Let's go over to the other side. When Jesus says we're going to go over to the other side, you're going to get there. When he says I've got to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come back and take you to where, when I'm going to finish what I've started in your life, he was there and he was asleep. Remember during that storm, Mark 4? And they said, Lord, don't you care? I say in storms, you'll be tempted to think he doesn't care. Secondly, in storms, you'll be tempted to abandon all hope.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series from the book of Acts. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Lessons from the Storm. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
All scripture is inspired by God. Every word of God is tested. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the earth, refined 7 times. He gave us just what we need. All scripture is inspired. What does that mean, Scott? That is, all scripture is inspired. That word is what the scholars call a hapax legomena. You say, why did you say that? Well, to let you know that I know 2 Greek words. Hapax legomena. Actually, it's a term. It's a helpful term because it explains that when a hapax legomena is a word that's only used once in the whole New Testament. And so oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes they're significant. And you say, well, how do we even know what it means then if it's only used one time? Because usually when you have a hapax legomena, you look up other Greek literature, classical, there's a lot of Greek literature out there, ancient Greek, and you can find other uses and figure it out. But this one is not in any other place in all of literature. Paul coined the term, we would say. But how do we know what it means? It's made of 2 simple words put together. God breathed. All scripture is from the very breath of God. The words of the Lord are pure words because they're from the very essence of God. Now, when you come to Acts 27, that's what triggered my mind on this, because in Acts 27, there are more hapax legomenas than in any other chapter in the New Testament. And you say, well, why is that? Well, because he's talking about rudders and anchors and foresails and masts and equipment and gear, and it's maritime language that you don't find elsewhere. And so you have 31 hapax legomenas in this storm that Luke writes about. And he says, it was, verse 20, no small storm. Now, we talked about it last week. And everything written in Scripture is written for our instruction. These things happened. 1 Corinthians 10 says, as examples for us, upon whom the end of the age has come. Whatever was written in earlier times, Paul writes in Romans, was written for our instruction. Our instruction. So this shipwreck scene, this storm at sea, lessons from the sea, we said last week we looked at it, and we're going to take a second glance at it today because this is written for our instruction. And we can learn much from it, and we've got a lot of storms in our lives. Maybe you're going through a financial storm. Maybe you've been in one long financial storm. The bills just keep buffeting, you know, and the wind pushes you this way and then that way. Maybe you're in a marital storm, and you've been grinding along, and you're not making any progress. In fact, you're pushing hard this way, and the current seems to be pushing you back this way. We all kind of understand this word storm, and there's 100 ways you can find yourself in a storm. I mentioned several of them last week. You can have a health storm. You can have a psychological storm. All of a sudden, or maybe over a long period of time, you find that your feelings aren't what they ought to be, you think. And we find ourselves, instead of naturally joyful, grinding it out and discouraged and even depressed. And this week I was thinking about a perpetual storm that every one of us are in. And it was interesting to me because it's a foundational chapter, Ephesians 4. And he says, in fact, it has been an anchor, to use a nautical term, an anchor for our ministry here at Southwest, that the risen Christ gave some as prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists to equip us for the work of service. And we are all ministers, okay? And we're to be building one another up and building up the body of Christ. Listen to familiar words. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by craftiness and deceitful scheming. I'll tell you what, every one of us are in a perpetual doctrinal storm. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that our doctrine's all like this. I'm saying that we live in a world where the winds push us this way, the fads go that way, and every individual believer is in a perpetual doctrinal storm, and we got to stay the course. And every individual church is in a doctrinal storm. And don't let the waves push you here and the wind there. So I want to learn everything I can about storms. And, you know, I say Scripture is God-breathed. It's perfect. And because of that, and having said what I've said, Scripture says quite a bit about storms. Listen to these words. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Hush! Be muzzled. He caused the storm of the sea to be stilled. He caused the waves and the wind to be hushed. You might think, as I read those words, I would have, that I'm quoting from Mark 4, where Jesus rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea. But I'm not. I'm reading from the 107th Psalm, written 1,000 years earlier. Turn there. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We're not going to be comprehensive in the sense that we're going to look at every portion of the Scripture on storms, but I remind you that Scripture says quite a bit about storms. And Jesus did rebuke the wind, and he did speak to the sea in Mark 4. But listen to the 107th Psalm, written 1,000 years earlier, verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, whether it be Paul and Luke and Aristarchus or commercial fishermen today, or those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they've seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Those guys in those boats, we may think we're pretty strong until the ocean takes over. And anybody that's been on the sea will tell you, respect it. And who's behind it? He spoke and raised up a stormy wind, verse 25, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They went up to the heavens and they went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. Have you ever been there? You say, Scott, I'm a landlubber. So am I. Only time I've been across the bar was on a cruise ship about 16,000 feet long. You know, and the sea was calm anyway. And even then, I was kind of like, whoa, we're out here. But I've been at my wit's end, haven't you? Because you see, there's other storms, aren't there? And you get tossed up here and then down there. And it says they were at their wit's end. Then they cried, look at verse 28, to the Lord in their trouble. And he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still. By the way, Jesus, the one who said, hush, be muzzled, literally, is the one who caused the storm, raised up the storm. Verse 25 and verse 29 go together. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. You know what? When we have opportunity, and God has brought each of us through some storms, maybe you're still in one. Maybe you don't see the end of the line. You haven't been brought to your desired haven. When he brings you through a storm, and he will, give praise to him. Give thanks to him. Give honor and glory to the one you cried out to, and the one who not only raised that storm up, but said, hush, and stopped that storm. No, I'll tell you, you can rely fully on the Lord no matter what storm you're in. I don't know your storm today. And I sometimes tire of preachers who say, I know what you're feeling like. I know what you're going. I don't. You don't know what I'm going through. But there is one who knows exactly where you're at. And he knows how long you've been in the storm. And he knows you've been tempted to say, Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. You can rely on him. And I want us to take a look at this with that in mind. You might be tempted to think, in fact, I believe you will be. I know I am. To be tempted to think, he doesn't care. Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. You might be tempted that way, but I'm telling you, the one who's in charge of the weather. I remember Elihu. You know, that epic poem, Job. And Elihu, listen to what he said. Just listen to these words. They're from chapter 37 of Job. And they speak loudly. And by the way, if you think of that epic poem, some of the guys said some things that sometimes you say, can I really camp on that? Because some of the what they said wasn't true. But Elihu spoke with such clarity, and it's as if when he was finished, there wasn't Job's response or one of the other guys stepping up to bash on Job a bit, you know, if you've read through it. After Elihu spoke, it's like chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41. By the way, if you have to cheat and just read the cliff notes, read just the end of Job. But it's like God says amen to what Elihu said. What did he say? Well, listen, verse 9, out of the south, comes the storm. Out of the north, the cold. From the breath of God. Oh, I'm interested. All scripture is the very breath of God. From the breath of God, ice is made, and the expanse of the waters is frozen. And with moisture, he loads the thick cloud. By the way, those ancients knew more about the weather than we think, because God had Elihu speak this. with moisture. He loads the thick cloud. He disperses the cloud of his lightning. It changes direction, turning around by his guidance, God's guidance, that it may do whatever he commands it on the face of the inhabited earth, whether for correction or for his world or for loving kindness. He causes it to happen. This is the God we're talking about. He's in charge. And he brings things into our life. He brings the weather. He brings a storm. He brings the wind. And he has it move here and then go there, unlike what they thought was going to happen, let's say. And it says he does it for correction. He's simultaneously using the weather to correct me sometimes while he's using it to encourage you. I used to puzzle over that as a kid. We prayed for rain and the farmer prayed for sun. Because if it rained bad enough, we didn't have to go out and work in the fields. But the farmer was worrying about his bottom line and trying to make a living. He'd pray one way, we'd pray another. And God gave the weather. Whether for correction or for his world or for loving kindness, he caused it to happen. He spoke and raised up a stormy wind, Psalm 107. He caused the storm to be still, Psalm 107. Turn to Acts 27. And we're in the midst of a storm. Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus are on their way to Rome. And we're just going to let it kind of unfold. This is part two, and we'll just watch for some things here. Let me just read verse 14. We'll overlap a little bit. Before very long, they had this nice moderate south wind going, and they thought everything was going to be good. The sailors did. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind, a typhoonikis. We get our word typhoon. A hurricane rushed down called Euroquilla, a northeaster. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along and running under the shelter of a small island called Claudia. We were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. And after they'd hoisted the lifeboat up, they used supporting cables in undergirding the ship, and fearing that they might run aground, they might be driven all the way down to Libya. That's where the graveyard of the Mediterranean was. A lot of ships were lost down there. They let down the sea anchor and so let themselves be driven along. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands, Luke writes. And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the only way they had to navigate, they didn't know where they were. No sun, no stars. And no small storm was assailing us. From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. I want to just hang our thoughts today around three common temptations in storms. And then I want to give six guiding principles in storms. And then I'm going to underline right now that these guiding principles point us toward the one anchor. The one anchor of our very souls. An anchor that's sure and steadfast in the midst of storms. So let's look at it. Three common temptations, and then we'll just walk right through this. Just let these things, because they'll fall right out of the text, it seems to me. In storms, you will be tempted to think he doesn't care. They were when Jesus was on board. Let's go over to the other side. When Jesus says we're going to go over to the other side, you're going to get there. When he says I've got to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you to where, when I'm going to finish what I've started in your life. He was there, and he was asleep. Remember during that storm, Mark 4? And they said, Lord, don't you care? I say in storms, you'll be tempted to think he doesn't care. Secondly, in storms, you'll be tempted to abandon hope, verse 20. To abandon all hope. And thirdly, you'll be tempted, verse 21, when they'd gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. And yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. We looked at this last week. From no hope to the angel saying, don't fear. A word from God. In a storm, you will be tempted to think he doesn't care, to abandon hope, and to fear. And the angel from God said, verse 24, do not be afraid, Paul. And this isn't the only time, is it? The angel said at the beginning, when the announcement was made, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's going to be born for you a Savior. And at the end, and I'm thinking of Jesus' life, the centerpiece of all history, when his birth was announced by the angel, don't be afraid, for today he's going to be born. And at the end, when they came to the tomb, going to anoint the body, what did the angel say? Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He's risen. And in between, the scripture says this over and over. Jesus said it in another storm, didn't he? He fed those 5,000 and they said, let's get on the boat and go across. Well, they got on the boat. He came. He didn't go with them. Remember in that storm? And he came in the midst of the storm, and they were afraid. He came walking on the water. And what did he say to them? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In storms, you'll be tempted to fear. Don't be afraid. But in storms, remember verse 23, who you belong to. This very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong. He takes care of his own. Remember who you belong to, Christian.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Lessons from the Storm, a message from our study of the book of Acts. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. Now, we're very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We invite you to learn more about it. Continually growing to nearly 25,000 pastors involved throughout 25 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, the Philippines. We've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception back in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland that shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. It's a perfect break in the work week in an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us 1-800-935-3020. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially. It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
God is in charge, and He can and does tell the future. And He said, through Paul, you are all going to be saved. The angel said, God has granted you everybody on board. How then can Paul announce, if these sailors get away, none of us will make it? Because the Scripture never takes one of those truths and blackens it out in lieu of the other. God is going to save 100 out of 100 of His sheep. But you will never be saved unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no one else.
Join us again next time as we continue our series from the book of Acts. Pastor Scott continues the message, Lessons from the Storm. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.